This sermon was preached at Crossway Church in Battleground, Washington. We hope it encourages you and challenges you.
Good morning, everyone. You guys don't sound lively this morning. Good morning, everyone. All right. So I'm going to stick to my notes because I tend to go down lots of rabbit trails. And so before we get into our scripture this morning, I thought it might be helpful to share a little bit about who I am and why the text that we're going to be getting into this morning means so much to me. So first off, my name is Joshua Aljoni, and today I'm a husband, a father, a pastoral resident, which is just a really pretty word for intern, and I'm a seminary student. And I want you guys to know that the story that I live out today is not always the story that I've lived out for my entire life. For much of my life, I struggled with addiction, crime, and destructive choices. I spent years running from God and looking for purposes in all the wrong places. Eventually, those choices caught up with me, and in 2018, I was arrested and faced the consequences of the life that I had been living. I ultimately pled guilty to multiple felony drug charges and entered a Christian treatment center called The Harbor through the Portland Rescue Mission. At that point, I wasn't just facing legal problems. I was facing a heart problem. I had spent years blaming circumstances, other people, and even God for where I was. But for the first time in my life, there was no blaming. I had come face to face with my guilt, and I had realized I had no one to blame but myself for where I was. And whatever happened to me, I realized I deserved. And that's where Jesus met me, or rather, you could say that's where I met Jesus. And what I discovered was that the gospel was not just for, it wasn't for good people who have it all together. The gospel is for guilty people. It's for people who know that they need mercy. And through the love of Christ, through the scriptures, through the faithfulness of God's people, my life began to change. I met a beautiful woman and got married. We have two kids together, Eli, who is 5, and Alina, who is 2. God brought about reconciliation and restored my relationships with 3 of my children who I walked out on due to my drug addiction. And he gave me a calling that I could never imagine. And today, by God's grace, I have been sober for 8 years. I'm serving in ministry. I'm helping others find the same hope that was given to me. And the reason that I share that this morning is because the passage that we're going to read about is deeply personal to me. In Luke 23, we're going to see Jesus standing before Pilate. Jesus, the only innocent man who ever lived, is treated like a criminal. Meanwhile, the guilty man named Barabbas goes free. And every time I read this account, I can't help but see myself in Barabbas. The guilty man walks free, not because he deserves it, but because Jesus takes his place on the cross. And it's not just Barabbas' story, it's my story. And if we're all being honest, it's your story as well. So with that in mind, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Luke chapter 23. We're going to read verses 21 through 25. Then the whole, I hear pages still flipping, I should, all right, you guys ready? Thumbs up? Okay. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nations. He opposes payments of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he heard that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He pleaded him with many questions. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him, dressing him in an elegant robe. They sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people into rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charge against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crimes has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, open our eyes this morning. Help us not just hear this story intellectually, but feel the weight of it spiritually. Father, I pray that you show us Christ. Show us our sin, and ultimately show us your grace. Remind us this morning that Jesus willingly took the place of the guilty people like us. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. And so what we just read, I believe, is one of the darkest moments in human history. Humanity stands face to face with the perfect Son of God and rejects him anyway. And what is amazing is that almost everyone involved knows that Jesus is innocent. Pilate knows it. Herod knows it. The religious leaders know it. And yet they still hand him over. Why? Because people can know truth and still reject it. People can know what is right and still choose to sin. And yet, I want you guys to know, before we judge the crowd too quickly, we need to realize that we're a lot like them too. Even if we don't want to admit it. The religious leaders bring Jesus before Pilate and begin accusing him. And I want you to hear these accusations in verse 2. "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payments of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king." And we know that this accusation is incredibly dishonest. And what makes it even more shocking is what happens just one chapter before this. We see the Pharisees and the scribes trying to trap Jesus. They come pretending to be sincere, pretending to ask honest questions, but their goal was to catch him in his words. And they ask him, "Is it lawful for us to give tribute to Caesar or not?" And see, they thought that they finally trapped him. Because if Jesus says no, then Rome can arrest him. And if Jesus says yes, then the Jews would turn against him. But Jesus, in his wisdom, asked, "Whose likeness and inscription does it have?" And they answered, "Caesar's." And Jesus said, "Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God's." And the text says that they marveled at his answer. But now here in Luke 23, the same religious leaders stand before Pilate accusing Jesus of doing exactly the opposite of what he actually taught. But this is what hardened hearts do. See, when people reject Jesus, truth, integrity, consistency no longer matter. Their goal was never truth. Their goal was getting rid of Jesus. And I think that if we're honest here, humanity still does this today. People twist Jesus' words. They twist scripture. And it's not because the evidence is lacking. It's because surrendering to Jesus would require giving up control. They accuse him of misleading the nation, opposing taxes, and claiming to be a king. But they're just manipulating the truth because Rome doesn't care about their religious accusations. See, people want Jesus that fits their preference. A Jesus that never confronts sin. A Jesus that makes them comfortable. But the real Jesus confronts us. The real Jesus calls us to surrender. Pilate asks in verse 3, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus responds, "You have said so." Pilate immediately realizes that Jesus is innocent. And in verse 4, he says, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." And that statement deeply matters because Luke is emphasizing Jesus' innocence. Why? Why does Luke do this? I believe it's because Jesus is the spotless Lamb of God. The innocent one that's about to die for guilty humanity, for you and I. And if I'm honest with you guys, I understand this guilt more than I'd like to admit it. I remember when I was younger, I was maybe about six, and I remember it was time for bed, and I saw matches on the living room table. We had a middle table that had all of, it was like the catch-all for everything. And there was a book of matches, and we went to bed, and everybody fell asleep. And as a little boy, I was curious, and I went and grabbed those matches, and I took those matches into my closet, and I shut the door, and I started striking the matches on the book. And I would light some of my clothing on fire, and then I would put it out really quick until there was this material that I lit on fire that I couldn't put out. My whole closet went up in flames, and I'm this little six-year-old boy running to the kitchen, grabbing a glass of water, trying to put out this massive flame, and it's not working. And so as a little boy, I close the door, and I go get in bed, and I shared a room with my sister, and I laid down, and I pretended to sleep. And then when the fire got big enough, the parents and everybody came in, I blamed my sister. And I remember because I knew that she was innocent. She knew that she was innocent. And she still got in trouble for what I did. And even later on in life, when I became a drug addict and lived a criminal lifestyle, there was almost something respected in the streets about taking the fall for somebody else. See, whenever somebody would stay silent or somebody would take the charges that they didn't deserve, whenever somebody carried the consequences of another person, there was something that people viewed as noble or even loyal about it. But every one of these examples that I've given you fall infinitely short of what's happening here in Luke 23. Because Jesus was not just innocent compared to my story and compared to the other people. He was perfectly innocent. No sin, no corruption, no deceit, no rebellion. Pilate says, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." In other words, he's innocent. And yet the innocent Son of God willingly steps into the place of the guilty. Humanity often does not want truth. Humanity wants control. And Jesus threatens control because if Jesus is truly king, then that means that we are not. So after Pilate finds out that Jesus was a Galilean in verse 6 and 7, you younger generation will like that, 6 and 7. He sends Jesus to Herod. And Herod wants entertainment. He wants Jesus to perform miracles for him. But Jesus remains silent. Herod mocks him, humiliates him, and sends him back. And once again, Pilate says after he brings everyone together, You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Pilate knows that Jesus is innocent. But Pilate has a problem. Pilate fears the people more than he fears truth. And today I believe that this same fear of man still destroys conviction. See, Pilate knows what's right, but he lacks the courage. And I think many of us understand that the same struggle today. We know the truth, we know what God says. But sometimes we stay silent because we fear rejection. I remember after coming to Christ, There were people who thought that my faith was fake. People who only knew that the old version of me struggled to believe that Jesus could really change somebody like me. And honestly, there were moments where it would have been easier to stay quiet about Jesus. Because when Jesus truly changes your life, people will misunderstand you. But don't let people chain you to who you used to be, especially when Jesus is transforming you to who you are becoming. See, Pilate tries to compromise. He says, "Therefore I will punish and release him," in verse 16. But if Jesus is innocent, why punish him at all? Pilate's compromise tries to satisfy both truth and the crowd. But eventually, he has to choose. And we see that that Pilate chooses the crowd over Christ. And listen, if you're living for the approval of people, eventually you'll compromise truth as well. But there's something fascinating happening in the middle of all of this darkness. In verse 12, it says, "That day Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies." N.T. Wright points out, Luke's whole book has spoken of the gospel reaching out into the lands beyond official Judaism, beyond the racial and geographical boundaries of Israel, beyond prejudice and blindness, bringing together Jew and Gentile, young and old, the hated Samaritan and the tax collector. And now, even without believing in Jesus, Herod and Pilate are reconciled. It's as though with Jesus on the way to the cross, reconciliation can't help but breaking out all over the place. Now, we shouldn't pretend that Herod and Pilate all of a sudden became godly men, because that's not the point of this text. But Luke is showing us something powerful. Jesus came to bring reconciliation. And even in the middle of rejection, betrayal, injustice, we begin seeing a glimpse of what Jesus came to accomplish. Because the cross is ultimately about reconciliation. Reconciliation between God and sinners. And as we move forward, we come to what I believe is the emotional center of this passage. In verse 18, it says, "The whole crowd shouted, 'Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!'" And we know that Barabbas is guilty. He's a murderer, a rebel, he's violent, he deserves judgment. And yet the crowd chooses him over Jesus. Listen, guys, I believe Barabbas is a picture of us. We're the guilty ones too. And I think why this passage hits me so deeply is because I know what it feels like to deserve chains and not get them. You know, in 2018, I pled guilty to 9 felonies. And by all rights, I should have been heading to prison for 6 years. And when I went before the judge said, "You have an option. You can either go to prison for 6 years or you can go to treatment for 14 months. And I ended up going to the treatment center. And it was a Christian treatment center. As I stated earlier, it was the harbor through Portland Rescue Mission in Portland, Oregon. And it was in this treatment center that I found my relationship with God. And I'll tell you that from 2018 to 2022, something miraculous happened. I went from having 10 felonies on my record in 2018 to having zero felonies on my record in 2022. I became the first person in Oregon to have all of my felonies removed under a new law that had passed that year. The man that you see standing up here today doesn't deserve to stand up here today, and yet I am. I don't deserve to have a wife and kids and a life that I can truly be grateful for, and yet I do. I know addiction. I know darkness. I know what it feels like to hurt people and destroy my own life. And maybe your chains look different than mine did. Maybe yours is anger. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe yours is pride. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's fear. Maybe you spend money or there's codependence, and you know that the list can go on. But the point is, apart from Christ, all of us are guilty before God. Imagine Barabbas sitting there in prison, and he knows that execution is coming. He knows he's going to be nailed on the cross. And suddenly the door opens, and instead of hearing it's your time for your punishment, he hears you're free. Can you imagine that moment? The chains fall off his wrist, and somewhere in the distance, Jesus walks toward the cross that Barabbas deserved. The cross that I deserve. The cross that you deserve. And the crazy thing is, this is exactly why Jesus came. Jesus came to take the place of the guilty. Not metaphorically, but literally in a spiritual sense. The innocent one condemned so that the guilty could go free. Jesus takes our punishment, our shame, our condemnation. And I can honestly say this morning that I shouldn't be preaching. Statistically speaking, I should be dead, still addicted, still lost, still hopeless. And yet I stand here as proof that Jesus changes people. It's not self-help. It's not behavior modification. It's Jesus. And somebody here today needs to hear this. You're not too far gone. If Jesus can save broken people like us, then there's hope for anyone. Verse 23 says, But with loud shouts they insistently demanded that he be crucified. And their shouts prevailed. Pilate caves. Jesus is condemned, the innocent one. And behind all of this injustice, God is accomplishing salvation. Isaiah 53:5 says, But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds we are healed. And verse 25 of Luke says, He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder. The one they had asked for. and surrendered Jesus to their will. See, by our standards, we would say that the wrong man went free. Or at least that's how it looked. But the only reason that we, guilty people, can go free is because Jesus took our place. We are Barabbas. And Jesus is the substitute. And so now the question becomes, what will you do with Jesus? Pilate chose approval. The religious leaders chose power. The crowd chose rebellion. But what will you choose? Because neutrality is impossible. You either surrender to Christ or you reject him. And every time we choose sin over obedience, self over surrender, comfort over holiness, we echo the crowd saying, "Give us Barabbas." And yet Jesus still went to the cross for sinners, for addicts, for failures, for broken people, for rebels, for all of us. And because of that, there's hope today. Hope for the guilty, hope for the ashamed, hope for the broken. Because Jesus took the place of the guilty so that the guilty could go free. So that we could have a relationship with God the Father. Let's pray.
You have just watched a sermon from Crossway Church in Battleground, Washington. We hope that you enjoyed it, and we'd love to have you come join us for a worship service on Sunday at 10 a.m. at 311 North Parkway Avenue in Battleground, Washington. If you'd like to find more information about us online, you can find it at crosswaychurchwa.com.